before.
Allowing me to let my guard down.
Allowing my heart to come around.
And show you how I feel.
Thank you for
looking right past all my armor. Being patient with all my drama. And seeing that my heart had promised. Oh,
my best in me. You bring out in best in this with no doubt. My fantasies I have found.
Nothing can compare to her. Feelings like this can't be wrong.
Getting up, oh, standing up. Got to have your loving. I ain't afraid to fall. Risk it all. Comes to push and shove it. My fantasy, you and me. Yes, it's nothing, nothing.
I can no longer be alone. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh.
Trusting that this is worth it. When it's wrong, even when it's imperfect, you fight for us. And now that we've come so far, so far, you're always gonna be my boo. And darling, ain't no question, no, it ain't no option. I'll never ever replace you.
My best in me.
You bring up, baby. Changes on
me. Getting up, standing up. Got to have the
oh,
nothing.
Baby.
I ain't afraid to fall. Risk it all. Comes to push and shove it. My fantasy.
You and me. Yes, it's lovely.
Nothing.
I can no longer be alone.
No, 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 no.
Getting up, standing up. Standing
gotta have your loving tonight.
I ain't afraid to fall.
I'm not afraid to fall.
My fantasy,
my fantasy.
That was Lovey Dovey featuring Eric Robertson and Raheem Devon from Omar's Brighter the Days. Now I'd like to provide an update on the SFU Redleafs Lacrosse, which play in Division 1 of the Pacific Northwest Collegiate Lacrosse League. On April 18th, SFU hosted University of Washington at Terry Fox Field, where the ball drop was at 6:30 p.m., and the Redleafs slaughtered the Huskies 24-3 in its last game ever. Let me look at detailed breakdown of stats if possible. No detailed breakdown of statistics are available at this time.
If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca. or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Here are the current standings in Division 1 of the Pacific Northwest Collegiate Lacrosse League, which may actually be the final standings for the 2026 season. Division records take priority, while overall records are used to break conference ties, from what I understand. Oregon are first at 4-0 division, 9-3 overall. Simon Fraser, second, 4-1 division, 6-3 overall. Boise State, third, 3-2 division, 4-8 overall. University of Washington, 2-3 division, 2-9 overall. Oregon State, 5th, 1-3 division, 5-7 overall. And Washington State, last, 0-5 division, 1-11 overall.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
Now I'd like to play my interview with the Burnaby Mayor, Mike Hurley, from last Tuesday, where the SFU Gondola Project was also discussed. Hello, my name is Steve Chong, and today is April 14th, 2026. On the line, I have
Mike Hurley, Mayor of the City of Burnaby.
The Burnaby Mayor, Mike Hurley, was first elected back in 2018, followed by being acclaimed in 2022. Before entering politics, Mike Hurley was a Burnaby firefighter starting in 1988, during which he served as the Burnaby Firefighters Association Vice President, President, and also the BC Provincial Firefighters Association President. Mayor Hurley, thank you for the interview this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
First of all, tell me about Burnaby's accomplishments in 2025.
Well, I think Burnaby's accomplishments has been getting our housing authority up and running, really starting to put some shovels in the ground now with the housing authority, which only took a year to get up and running, which is something quite amazing. We're looking forward to that making a huge difference in affordability levels in our province over the next 10 years. So that's one of our major accomplishments, but I think you can see the developments that are being done in our city, the theater at Shadbolt Center, which will be completed next year. Everyone can see that. That's going to be an amazing addition to our community. We have two community centers that are now very visible down at Burnaby Lake and then at Cameron. So they're moving along really nicely with pools and new facilities that our community so much needs. So those are some of the things we've been up to in the city of Burnaby.
Elaborate on the Burnaby Housing Authority, which has two projects in the works with plans to break ground this summer.
Plans to break ground in the next couple of months, correct.
Please elaborate on the Burnaby Housing Authority.
Well, the Burnaby Housing Authority is it has been put together. It's hands off from council. We have brought in some experts in that field to sit on our board. We have now hired CEO and a couple of other staff who are putting this together really, really quickly. The two projects, one has got 400, I think around 400 apartment-type buildings, 1 to 3 bedrooms, which a third of those will be at the affordable levels. And there's another townhouse project, which will be moving really quickly. Townhomes are really needed in Burnaby, 2 and 3 bedroom family size units. There'll be about 180 of those, which will all be completed in the next 2 years. And so that'll be the start of us you know, having that authority up and running at no expense to taxpayers, and it will be able to stand on its own and within the next 5 years.
Shifting gears. On November 15th, 2025, the Burnaby City made a formal apology to the people of Chinese descent for policies between 1892 and 1947. For example, was an 1892 bylaw barring Chinese and Japanese residents from being employed by the municipality and contractors, according to CBC. Explain why the people of Japanese descent were excluded from the apology.
Well, people of Japanese descent will... We're working on our own apology for the Japanese community. There were some little differences there, and but so we're working through that with our Japanese community, and the intention is to recognize that community on their own. So not excluded. We're still working together with the community.
Thank you for clarifying. 1 month later in December, various media outlets found about a major crisis in the Metro Vancouver leadership, led by Catherine Urquhart of Global BC, where the chief administrative officer, Jerry Dobrovolny, suspended the chief financial officer, Harji Farn, who was terminated by the Metro Vancouver board, which includes you. I believe you are the president of the Metro Vancouver board?
No, I'm chair of Metro Vancouver board, yeah.
Thank you for clarifying. However, from what I understand, you asked the board to order a third-party investigation of the leak, with the Metro Vancouver board itself being under a microscope, as a Deloitte audit last May found the 41-member board large and unwieldy. Please counter.
Yeah, so I'll start off with the Deloitte report, which, by the way, was an excellent report. It reported many positive parts of Metro Vancouver. And to deal with the size of the board, I put a committee in place that is going through step by step. Deloitte recommended 47 changes or 47 changes to policy within Metro Vancouver. We have already completed 22 of those changes. The governance committee, which I put in place, is now working towards the other recommendations, one of which is the size of the board. But it's important to note that the size of the board, that is governed by the provincial government. So we have no way to change that ourselves without their cooperation. So that was something that was put in place 30 years ago. So I just wanted to be sure people understand that that work is going full speed ahead, with those changes have been made, but with still work to do. As I always say, it took us 30 years to get here with all these policies, and now if I can get to a good place within 30 months, we'll have done a pretty decent job. But the important thing is to get it right. So that's what we're going to be focusing on. That committee meets regularly to go through the how we're going to deal with the rest of the recommendations, including board size.
Another issue, from what I understand, is that if Metro Vancouver board meetings goes, if a Metro Vancouver board meeting goes over 4 hours, attendees get a major jump in compensation. Tell me about mitigation measures, if applicable.
So just the one you just mentioned there, where there'd be a double fee if the meeting went over 4 hours. I just want to be very clear that in my 7 years on the board, that only ever happened once. However, that is one of the changes that has already been made. There are no double meeting fees anymore. So that is one of the changes that has been made through the governance committee.
Okay. One more thing about Metro Vancouver. From what I understand, the Surrey City is taking Metro Vancouver to court over Invest Vancouver.
Right.
Explain.
So Yeah, and Best Vancouver was set up in, I believe, 2017. What Surrey is claiming, I believe, in their judicial review they're requesting of that setup is that they're claiming that it wasn't set up in a proper manner. That's something we're looking at right now. As I certainly wasn't around when the Best Vancouver was put into place by the board of that day. So I guess that is something that we'll go to the courts and we'll see if it was set up properly or not.
For context, according to Catherine Urquhart of Global News, Invest Vancouver was actually launched in 2021.
No, it was changed in 2021, but the initial setup was done either in 2017 or 2018, I believe.
Thanks for clarifying once again. On February 28, 2026, U.S. and Israel launched strikes against Iran, which have led to counterstrikes in the Middle East, and the Strait of Hormuz being blocked, leading to surges in gas prices. How has the Burnaby City dealt with high fuel prices for its residents, which include my immediate family?
Well, there's not really much a city government can do about high fuel prices, other than have work with TransLink to make sure that there's enough transit going around that people, if they can't afford to drive their vehicles, that they can take transit or some other means. But that's way outside of a city's, what a city could possibly do.
Now to March 23rd, 2026. Karen Hogan, the federal government's auditor general, released her audit of the RCMP, where she found it failed to recruit and post officers for their first assignments in timely manners to meet operational needs. The report came out with 6 years remaining in BC's three contracts with the RCMP on provincial municipal policing services and municipal police unit agreements, with the Burnaby RCMP being the second largest detachment in all of Canada. How does the Auditor General's report impact Burnaby's decision for policing in the future, as BC's three contracts with the RCMP expire on March 31st, 2032?
Well, hopefully that RCMP will have made the relevant changes by that, you know, as quickly as they possibly can. I'm sure they're taking the reports very seriously, as we do. So we'll be watching very closely to see how RCMP responds and what changes they have made within their ranks and their policies to assure these are all being addressed. I know they're taking it very seriously, so we'll be watching in the lead up to those contracts being renewed. Important to note that our contract is with the provincial government when it comes to policing.
So it sounds like if the BC government wants to do away with the RCMP and provincial policing agreement, Burnaby will have to follow suit as well.
That is absolutely correct, yep.
On March 26, 2026, you penned a letter to the BC government criticizing its decision to indefinitely delay new funding for primary affordable housing. Explain.
Well, you know, the provincial government had made a big deal since 2023 about housing targets and about setting affordable housing targets for all our cities, including Burnaby. But the only way affordable housing targets can be met is through provincial funding. So if they still want us to meet the targets, that would be impossible without that funding being in place that they have now put on hold through their budgeting process. So it's disappointing for the provincial government to lecture us about not building enough housing and then pull back the funding, the very funding that we need to build that housing. That is why I wrote the letter.
Thank you. So how are people being demo evicted, including Metrotown neighborhood, including the Metrotown neighborhood where I live, being accommodated at this time?
Well, that's accommodated through our policy that we put in place, I believe, 3 years ago, where people shouldn't be getting demo evicted because the policy says that, you know, if they've lived there a certain amount of time, that the developers must find them a place to live until the building is built, where they will be able to move back in at the same rates that they left, the same rent that they left. So that's how demo evictions are being avoided in Metrotown and other areas.
Two more questions. As a show host for CJSF, the campus community radio station for SFU, it would be remiss for me to omit about the progress of the SFU gondola.
Mm-hmm. Well, from a City of Burnaby perspective, we have done all the work that we can do to make sure that that is ready to go whenever the funding's in place. And I know TransLink are still trying to achieve that funding from the senior orders of government. And when that happens, the gondola can go ahead. But at this time, funding hasn't been forthcoming, so I don't see much progress on the gondola in the near future because of that reason.
Finally, will you be running for a third term as the Burnaby mayor this October?
I haven't quite made my final decision on that yet, but as soon as I do, I will let you know.
For context, three Burnaby Citizen Association councillors, Sav Dhaliwal, Pietro Calandino, and Allison Gu, will not be seeking re-elections, from what I understand.
That's correct, and I'd like to thank them for the great service they've given the city. Pietro and Sav over a number of years, but Allison definitely did a very nice job on behalf of the residents of Burnaby as well. So wishing them all the best in what they choose to do, but also want to remember and thank them for the service they have given Burnaby residents for many years.
Thank you for another informative session today. This interview hopefully will be up sometime today, possibly by about 11:30 or maybe around noon. And stay safe.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye. Bye.
That was my interview with the Burnaby Mayor, Mike Hurley, on April 14th, 2026, which went online sometime between noon and 12:30, and you just heard it on CJSF. Now I'd like to provide the latest on the Surrey Police transition at this time. On April 13th, the Surrey City Council approved the 2026 Policing Priorities, Goals, and Objective Report dated April 9th, 2026, from Public Safety Manager Brian Edwards, the former Surrey RCMP head. The Surrey City Council supported four key policing priorities for 2026. Completing the police transition by assembling the SPS in a timely and financially accountable way while keeping frontline service. Responding to extortion crisis via focused efforts to destroy criminal networks with close partnerships between regional and provincial partners. Improving cooperation across city departments, bylaw enforcement, and health and social service partners to better confront public disorder, mental health, and addiction-linked impacts on community safety. Planning for the policing future in Surrey, which is the last of four priorities, involving work with the Surrey City Council for a long-term service delivery model. On April 14th, the SPS provided a news release on a four-month project aiming repeat offenders. In the City Center, Wally, where the SFU Surrey campus resides, Newton, and Salisbury neighborhoods with funding from the BC government via its Special Investigations and Targeted Enforcement Program. Between November 2025 and February 2026, the SPS Crime Reduction Unit also worked with multiple policing agencies across the Lower Mainland, the Metro Vancouver Transit Police, Delta Police, BC RCMP Air Services, Lower Mainland District Integrated Police Dog Service, Canadian Border Service Agency, and Organized Crime Retail Association, leading to 136 arrests, 10 for breach, 35 warrants executed, 55 charges recommended to the BC Prosecution Service, 54 weapons seized, including 39 edged weapons, 2 brass knuckles, over 360 grams of narcotics, including cocaine, fentanyl, and $5,000 seized, along with $7,400 in property from crime proceeds. On April 16th, the SPS also updated their numbers from 646 to 659, 134 females, 525 males, with 301 visible minorities, 22 indigenous, and 505 civilian employees. On April 18th, the SPS provided policing presence in the Surrey Khalsa Day Vaisakhi Parade, enforcing road closures between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Thank you for listening to episode 16 of The Steve Chong Show. In 2026, follow Part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 11, it's Julian Taylor's Jukebox. I'd like to play one more song before I'm out of here. Just a minute, please. Let me just find out if I can find the song. Just a minute, please. I'm just taking a look right now. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through right now. I need about a minute. Just a minute. Dave Mossing's Homesteaders, Homesteader Suite 2, Interlude 1. Sorry about that. I wasn't long enough at all. Coming up at 11, it is Julian Taylor's Jukebox. I will just play that song, which I stopped because of running out of time, in next week. Sorry for the inconvenience.
Hi there, this is Jan Arden, and if you're listening to something fabulous, well, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser University Radio, streaming on the internet at cjsf.ca.
This is broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.